Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now. In a city where time disappears, we create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. A lot to get into here on a Wednesday. Let's not waste any time. Let's bring in Brandon Deutsch from the Sporting Tribune. Brandon, how are you?
I'm doing great. Not better than the Lakers, that's for sure.
So we got to start off with the Lakers. Again, I think we've gone back and forth about this, that listen, when this team is not fully healthy, hard to kind of judge where they're at. Last night, Anthony Davis does not play. LeBron James basically, wasn't going to play and then showed up, was perhaps going to be his flu game again. Well, didn't show up until just before the start of the game. I mean, this was, you hate to say, a must win, but listen, that's where we're at in this point in the season. They cannot get to the sixth seed at this point. So now it's like, can they at least get to that number 7 to 8 seed and be in a win in advance situation? Even that's looking tougher and tougher, Brandon. Now, when you look at the fact that they've lost two straight going into the last two games of the season, your thoughts on where the Lakers stand right now?
Well, I think, I think they beat Minnesota in that game a few nights ago. If LeBron plays, he doesn't, right? He has the flu, apparently. Now, again, he was feeling sick. We don't know if it's exactly the flu-like symptoms, whatever. But he doesn't play, and I get that. I mean, when you have the flu, whatever, right? But then Davis doesn't play in the game against the Warriors, and right when he was ruled out, didn't matter whether LeBron was playing or not, they were going to lose that game. Because Davis, if you remember Arash, and the listeners will remember, he was the catalyst in that Warriors series. Yeah. He was dominant. Even when he wasn't scoring, one game he was scoring 40 points, the next 10, didn't matter. He was still the best defender on the floor. And what he can do is you can let him sit back and, he's versatile enough to go to the outside and defend shooters too. But in the interior game, they would have zero. He would be able to put out guys on the shooters and not worry about the drive, like Steph Curry getting to the rack and then dishing it out to Kuminga or whoever, you know, Draymond to go inside for an easy layup, because Davis would be there. Now, Ham did not utilize Jackson Hayes and Rui Hachimura to the extent he should have. He tried to small ball the small ball, right? Like out small ball the small ball, as Jovan Buha of The Athletic wrote about it, our USC alum guy right there.
Yeah.
He had an excellent article about them, and Ham playing the four guard lineup, you know, a mixture of Gabe Vincent, playing Terry and Prince at the power forward, by the way, Gabe Vincent, Russell Reeves, a mixture of Dinwiddie, of those four guys. It didn't work. They were leaving wide open shooters, trying to, you know, lock in on Stephen Clay, and Draymond was making all of his threes. And it's just not a formula that's going to work, especially when you don't have Jared Vanderbilt out there. If Vanderbilt's out there, it's a different story. Who knows if he'll return? But the Lakers are pretty much locked into this 9-10 game, Arash. I mean, it's going to be extremely difficult for the Suns and Kings to lose the remaining of their games, right? Or at least most of the remaining of their games, especially with the Clippers already clinching the Pacific Division. I don't think Clippers care whether they're 4 or 5 personally. Grant seems to think otherwise. It doesn't matter. You're playing the Mavericks, right? Like everybody knows it. it's set in stone. So I don't think they're going to show up to play against the Suns in their next game, and the Suns win, and then Lakers are locked into a play-in game. But again, it's going to be in Golden State.
Yeah, I want to get your thoughts here, because the Clippers are in a pretty good position in the sense that they have a 2-game lead above the Mavericks in that 4-5 matchup. I mean, what they did last night in Phoenix was very impressive. Yes, they almost blew it. I mean, they had a 37-point lead in the first half against the Phoenix Suns. The Suns come back to cut it to 7, because that's the league. Would have been the greatest comeback in league history, the biggest comeback in league history. But the Clippers held on to win that game, clinched the Pacific Division, clinched the top 5 seed. Again, they have a 2-game lead atop the Mavs. So listen, I think the importance there, and I'd love to get your thoughts, is listen, I mean, you have home court, right? And so you get the first 2 games at home, you get game 7. If there is a game 7, that would be at home. If you remember, I mean, that this was back in 2021, where it was the wildest series that we can ever remember, where the Mavericks won the first 2 games in Los Angeles, had a 20-point lead in game 3, Clippers finding a way to come back and win that. And so that one was a weird series. Again, I think it'll be an exciting series. Let's play this out real quick before we delve a little bit deeper into the Lakers situation, because I think you're right, and this is not the situation that they want to be in. But listen, when you lose back-to-back games late in the season, this is what happens. Okay, so for the Clippers, if they are the 4 seed and the Mavericks are the 5 seed, how do you see that playoff series playing out?
Well, I think Luka gets his revenge. I don't see how the Clippers can beat the Mavericks. Maybe I'm wrong. A lot of people are bought in on the Clippers again after their recent run. I mean, it was impressive for them to jump out to that 36-4 lead against a fully healthy Phoenix, by the way, pretty much. And then the Clippers didn't have Kawhi Leonard or James Harden. So it was definitely an impressive win. At the end of the day, Luka and Kyrie are just too good. I think they could be the team that could upset Denver if there's going to be a team. It's probably Dallas. So at the end of the day, I'm thinking about this from a perspective of it's not about the Clippers. It's about who they're playing. I think Dallas is the worst team to play in the first round, probably.
And explain why, because they are extremely hot right now, and they have 2 of the top 10 players in the world.
100%. I mean, both of those guys are averaging 27-plus points per game on 60% true shooting percentage over their past 20 games. I think they're 13-2 over the past 15 games, some along those lines. You'd have to fact check me on that. They're the hottest team in the world right now, and I think at the end of the day, that's going to matter. And when you have a guy playing the way Luka Doncic is playing, it's really reminiscent of Nikola Jokic last season in going into the playoffs, trying to prove, like, they didn't give him the MVP. Same thing's going to happen with Doncic. They're going to give Jokic the MVP. Yeah. He thinks he deserves it. And we could see a generational playoff run from Luka Doncic. I mean, I think people forget, when he was 22 years old, he was putting up Michael Jordan-esque numbers against the Clippers in that first round series. I don't see how the Clippers can beat him. I don't, Arash.
So here's what I found fascinating when we've talked to Grant and we've talked to other people around the Clippers. There's not a first round matchup that they've liked. I mean, remember, for the longest time, they were slated to play the Pelicans. They had a bad matchup for them. For a while, it was the Kings. I mean, like, was there or, like, is there still, again, it looks like they're kind of locked in to playing the Mavs in that 4-5 matchup. But, like, what would have been a good playoff series for the Clippers?
Yeah, I think New Orleans, even Phoenix, I think they beat both of those
teams.
So, I mean, I think Minnesota, they'll beat. I think they'd beat Oklahoma City too. Most teams. I think Dallas and Denver are the two teams you don't want to play.
Yeah.
That's why seeding's a little screwed up. You know, you have the Lakers in 10. Even with all their struggles, our team no one wants to play. You have the Warriors in, well, I'm assuming the Lakers will be 10 because I think the Warriors will win out. They're 9 right now. Let me address that because the Warriors have the tiebreaker. But those are two teams no one wants to play, and they're 9-10. Right? Like, those are two teams I think beat Minnesota, beat New Orleans, beat Phoenix in a series, definitely beat Sacramento. Sacramento is damaged goods without Malik Monk right now. In fact, the Lakers would beat them in a play-in game if they're able to get past the Warriors.
Just to, kind of set the scene again, the Lakers right now have a half game lead atop the Warriors. So they're the 9 seed. Warriors are the 10 seed. Again, that's a fluid situation, as you touched on, where the Warriors, again, have won the head-to-head series. So if there's a tie, again, this is where the Lakers have really, and again, when you are where they are, I mean, they've done this to themselves, but that's why, yes, they are only a half game back of the Kings for the 8th seed, but they don't have the tiebreaker. The Kings won the season series. If there's a tie with the Warriors have beaten the Lakers the last few times that they have played. Set the scene for us again. So, like, so if it plays out like this, once again, we would have a Lakers-Warriors play-in tournament game. But the difference is this would not be a 7-8 matchup where, like, even if the Lakers win this game, right, they would play, what is it, the loser of the 7-8 game?
Yeah. Yes, I mean, that's definitely what it would be. Probably, I mean, again, the clinching scenarios are so complex and weird. If I had to guess, I think Phoenix gets 6, and I think New Orleans probably gets 8 or 7.
Yeah.
And Sacramento probably gets 8, New Orleans 7. So I would think at the end of the day, the Lakers, if they win that game, would probably play Sacramento or New Orleans.
But then, you know, when you are stuck in that game, if you lose, your season is over. And listen, we're rightfully so. Listen, if you're the 10 seed, if you're the 9 seed, you know, you kind of get one chance to make the playoffs, or at least two chances to make the playoffs. So we'll see how they do. So, listen, they did not have Anthony Davis for these very critical games. Your confidence level, if they are healthy, let's just say they win their last two games of the year. They are the 9 seed. Let's just give them that at least, where they have that home game against the Warriors. What's your confidence level that a healthy Lakers team can win 2 in a row and advance to the actual playoffs?
If LeBron's coaching the team, 85%. I mean, I think, you know, if AD and LeBron are healthy, even without Vanderbilt, they should be able to win both those games. Definitely the Warriors game. But again, I'm not sold on the Warriors. I know they played really well, Arash, but does that count? I mean, Davis didn't even play. Does it count? Like, I mean, I feel like they've played the Lakers multiple times when Davis was hurt or not playing, right? Like the last time they beat the Lakers, he was hurt. I just don't, I'm not bought in. I know Armani Buckets disagrees with me and thinks they're going to go on some run, but they still have glaring issues. They have no size. If Steph Curry or Klay has an off night, they're extremely exploitable. I just don't see how, and they're worse at home, by the way. So maybe the Lakers did themselves a favor by having to go to Golden State to play that game versus at home, because Golden State, I think, has like one of the top 3 road records in basketball, if I'm not mistaken, and a horrible home record. I still think they win that game against Golden State, and I still think they'll beat Sacramento, but I'm not as confident in them winning a playoff series this year. And I think Ham's fired regardless, unless they win a championship, which is close to a 0% chance. Yeah, right.
And you've touched on this, and you've really harped on this throughout the season, just with his rotations and the way he's coached this team. Again, I guess it's important to note, just because the West has improved, win wise, the Lakers are going to win more games than they did a year ago. The fact of the matter is, if they won this many games a year ago, they would have been a top four seed. As it is right now, they're in that 9-10 matchup. Like, even if, in your mind, if the Lakers went on some kind of a crazy run, again, got to the conference finals and lost, that would not be enough to save Darvin Ham's job. You think that, again, listen, they're not winning a championship, but if they do, I guess that would save his job. But, like, if this team at least gets to the Western Conference Finals, do you think he has a chance to return, or do you think this is the end of Ham?
I mean, there's always a chance, right? Because how many coaches are going to let LeBron coach the team, right? Or, like, not coach the team, but have influence. There's actually not a lot of coaches that are going to want LeBron to have influence. And at the end of the day, he is going to have influence in decisions made on the court. So I'm not saying you have to hire a pushover, but you have to hire someone who is able to work with LeBron. And it's not going to be like an Eric Spoelstra or somebody elite. It would have to be another assistant, right? So it's like, I don't know who they'd hire and who would be okay with LeBron kind of running the show half the time.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you're going to get his input. He's an all-time great. He knows the game at a high level. And not many coaches are going to want to hear his input. So I don't know who they would hire, but I think it's inevitable that Ham goes, because this should be a 55-win team. And it's literally minus 10 wins because he didn't play Rui Hachimura toward the beginning of the year. Had these four guard lineups. It's just ridiculous. And people are going to, like, hate on the Lakers and say they fire coaches every 2 years. They just haven't gotten the right coach. It's not about, I think they gave Ham too much of a leash. Honestly, I would have fired him midseason.
Yeah. I mean, it's just one of those things where, like, it's been so clear that he has not played the right matchups and the guys that he should have. Before we close out, wanted to ask you about the Los Angeles Angels. That's right. You were out at the Big A covering the team this season. Listen, I know it's early, but, 11 games into the season, they are tied with the defending World Series champion Texas Rangers at 6-5 atop the division. Mike Trout looks like maybe he's found his old ways. What did you think about the team when you saw them up close and in person?
A lot of togetherness. The locker room is much more, they're in tune with everything. I think Shohei Ohtani was a distraction, to be perfectly honest, for the team. They all wanted him gone. But yeah, I think personally, Artie was never going to match that contract. I'm not saying Ohtani was a bad, because obviously he was an excellent player, but he did put himself above other teammates. And that, you know, it's kind of like the military. Like, if you have a guy in the same class as you in the military that just puts him above you, right? Like, you're not going to like him. His teammates aren't going to like him. And I'm not saying that he had problems with his teammates. I just think it was such a distraction. And now less reporters there, less microscope on the team. They're able to just focus on baseball at the end of the day. And I think that helps them a lot. I think there's still a lot of things they need to work on. They have some of the least talent in the league, personally, but they're scrappy and they're going to stay in games. And I think 80 wins is manageable. They're not going to make the playoffs, but 80 wins is definitely a step in the right direction if Trout can stay healthy and have an MVP type year.
When you kind of looked at your expectations for this team, one of the things that you really liked was Ron Washington coming in. Again, I actually like the fact that after the second loss of the season, they brought the team together for a meeting. Some people think, like, that's too soon. Why wait? Having seen, again, going into the clubhouse and talking to him, how much of an impact has he made this quickly since he took over?
I mean, I think he's a top 10 manager. I really do right now. I mean, what he brings, it's kind of like a Dan Campbell type. They needed someone who would change the culture, like lock in, like going to give their all on a nightly basis, regardless of how talented they are. And he's a leader of men. He's an excellent leader of men. And I think at the end of the day, that's what they needed. Phil Nevin was, I feel like he was a good manager, but it was like, at the end of the day, that's not the team he'd be good with. He'd be on a team. He'd be a great manager on a team with full of superstars. And people are going to be like, oh, well, the Angels had Trout and Ohtani. Yeah, but the rest of the team wasn't good. Like, yeah. That, plain and simple. Baseball is not, everyone's like, oh, they never won. Yeah, that just shows me you don't watch baseball. You need nine guys on the field. You need depth. You need pitching. Look at the Dodgers. They don't win a World Series every year. Do they have the best roster in the sport? Probably. Do they win the World Series of the year every year? I mean, it really, if it was based on superstardom, yeah. But yeah. There are better baseball teams on a year-to-year basis. And same thing goes for the Angels. And once you realize that and everyone's together and kind of has a common goal, which wasn't what they had last year, a lot can be done, a lot more than people expect from them.
But, listen, and you would know this greater than I did because you covered the team a year ago and you've been covering them this season. My thing is, I don't think Shohei Ohtani's teammates didn't like him, but I know for a fact, and there's no way you could, they don't like the circus. And the Dodgers players have already felt that from the times that I have covered them this season. The amount of media, it is like World Series level media in the clubhouse. And that just is such a distraction. And it is something that he can't control. He is a superstar. But beyond that, you know, when the gambling story comes out, and then you got like news reporters, and it's literally, you can kind of see it on the players' faces, and the PR department's doing the best job that they can to kind of make sure, like, do you have to be in here? Do you need access to the clubhouse? If you do have access, like, you can't do certain things. But, having played the game, I mean, that does take its toll, right? Like, when you're trying to develop camaraderie and you got one player, and again, I don't want to put this on Shohei, but like that's what he brings with him. And you covered the Angels last year where you just have this massive media around one player, right?
I mean, it's crazy. At the end of the day, last year there was like 50 reporters every game, and now there's 4-5, you know, like it was great for us at the Tribune because we can get more interviews and more access and everything versus last year. It was a whole circus. Again, you're right. He's not a bad teammate. Everyone likes him. He's a great guy. But what he brings, there's some animosity between other players. I mean, they don't like it. They don't want to. They're like, why? You know, it's weird. It's awkward. It's like this microscope. You can't play freely. I mean, the Dodgers are going to have a microscope on them for the next 10 years, and they already did because they're the Dodgers. Yeah. And now you have Shohei Ohtani and all of Japan watching you. You have an even bigger microscope. They are the organization built for it. But there's going to be some bumps in the road with everything that he brings, even with him being a superstar in the field. And he's playing great ball right now. But, I mean, just it's going to be crazy how what the media, everything about this whole Ohtani situation over the next 6 months.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the things that the Dodgers are still trying to figure out. I'm surprised that they weren't a little bit more prepared for it just when you look at the – again, it is worldwide coverage. And yes, a big part of it's Japan, but it's all of Asia. It's China. It's Korea. It's worldwide coverage around this team. And again, the Dodgers are doing their best in terms of utilizing the press conference room, utilizing the hallway, because again, like that clubhouse was absolutely packed for the first couple of games of the season. And you could tell like the players are like, I can't even get dressed in private here, and I'd love to talk to you guys, but like, can you give me a few feet? And so, listen, those things do take its toll. So, hopefully, the Dodgers figure it out as we progress here. Brandon, you're the best. Thanks so much for joining us. Let's leave it there for now. When we come back, we'll be joined by Grant Mona talking about the Clippers and a little bit more of the Lakers. When we come back, right here on the Mightier 1090 of Southern California, the Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now, in a city where time disappears. We create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big. We go all night. And here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Still clown when the underground
when we come around. Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 Hawaii. Just as a reminder, if you have a question or comment or want to win tickets to an upcoming game in Southern California, Las Vegas, or Hawaii, call our hotline 310-400-0340. All right, let's welcome into the show from the Sporting Tribune, Grant Mona. Grant, how are you?
Doing well. The weather's getting a little bit warmer, and so are the Clippers, unfortunately for the Lakers. not quite the same, but yeah, doing very well.
Exactly. Let's touch on that first. Clippers game last night in Phoenix. I was there. Clippers jump out to a 37-point lead. No Kawhi Leonard, no James Harden, no problem for the Clippers. I had never seen a first quarter like that. It was 35-4 at one point towards the end of the first quarter. Again, just have never seen anything like that. We'll talk to the players post-game in the locker room. They had not been a part of anything like that. You know it's the NBA, so you know the Suns are going to come back. That being said, you don't expect a 37-point game to be a 7-point game. And Grant, I know you were nervous because, you know, by the time the fourth quarter came around, it was a quote-unquote normal game. You know, when you have an 11-point game with like 10 minutes to go, I mean, that's just, you know, the historical context of that was no longer a part of it. Again, I mean, if the Clippers had lost, it would have been the biggest largest comeback in league history, but thankfully the Clippers were not a part of that history. Big takeaway from that game, however, is Russell Westbrook having a night, you know, 15 points, 15 assists, 15 boards, another triple double, really showing that if need be, he could be his old self again. Again, he has adopted that six man role with his team, but again, with no Kawhi, no James Harden, he had to do more, and he certainly did. The Clippers clinched the Pacific Division, third time in franchise history. They are at least a top five seed. I do think at some point over the next two games, they will clinch that number four seed. Again, significant to have home court advantage for at least the first round. But Grant, that'd be a big win for the Clippers on the road in Phoenix. Again, the Suns were pretty much healthy. They had Kevin Durant, they had Devin Booker, they had Michael Beasley. Could not do anything in that first half against the Clippers. What did you think about that game last night?
Yeah, look, that was probably the best first quarter I've ever seen from the Clippers, and I've been watching the Clippers for a long time. The amount of energy and poise and just, they were playing reckless. And I attribute it, honestly, Arash, to Russell Westbrook being inserted into the starting lineup for James Harden. And I know James Harden's had foot soreness and all that, but he just brings a different type of tenacity to that Clippers lineup when he's in there. And over the past nine games since Russell Westbrook returned, the Clippers are 7-2. Yeah. And I know he's been off the bench, and I know his minutes were kind of limited to his bench role. But in this one, I mean, you see why he's so important to this team. Guys follow him. He is the leader on this team. A lot of people say, oh, well, who is it? You know, you have to have a leader on each team. It's Russell Westbrook, and that's the exact reason why, because he can give you performances like this. He did it in the playoffs last year. You know, Kawhi was out, Paul George was out, and, you know, Russell Westbrook put up 27 points per game with, you know, he's putting up double-doubles every game in the playoffs. So I don't know if it's his disdain for the Suns, his disdain for maybe Frank Vogel, because they had a tumultuous time in Los Angeles, you know? So I don't know if that's maybe something, but every time he plays the Suns, it seems like, and the Grizzlies for some reason, every time he plays the Suns and the Grizzlies, he has a different type of energy. But what I saw from that Clippers team in the first three quarters was what I saw in December and January. I mean, they were doing that to teams in that 25-6 stretch that they had. And it was kind of reminiscent of that. So it's really, really great to see them still get to that peak level of basketball that they were playing in December and January, and to do it without your best player and the guy that facilitates the offense and James Harden and Kawhi Leonard. It was a really remarkable win. And I know that it's against the Suns, and the Suns are the 8th seed, but just the way they did it. And I know they blew a 37-point lead, and the Suns actually got it down to 7.
Yeah.
But just to also combat that comeback and sustain it and win after they made that comeback, that also shows me something. I'm actually kind of glad that the Suns made a comeback, because in any type of scenario, I want to see how they respond to adversity. And the Clippers did. You know, they went back up by 10, and, you know, they ended up winning the game by 13. So they showed some adversity towards the end as well. You know, they play again today, and I'm not sure who's going to play. I'm assuming they rest a lot of guys. They still do need one more win to clinch that four seed.
Yeah.
So whether they get it tonight or whether they get it, you know, on Friday in Utah or the last game of the season, I'm not sure, but I'm sure they'll get it here soon.
Yeah, I mean, I think the significance there, and I touched on this with Brandon in the previous segment, is you want home court. I mean, like you're not really going out on a limb by saying that. I mean, if you get the Mavericks, again, there's no first round matchup that you love if you're the Clippers, and I want to talk to you about that. But regardless, even if you don't love your matchup, at least you have home court. At least the first two games are at home. At least if there's a game seven, that will be at home. But that was the significance. I like the point that you made. The Clippers have been in a situation a couple of times this year where they've blown big leads late. Again, we remember that 20-point lead in the fourth quarter against the Lakers. I like the fact that that 37-point lead was brought down to seven with a ton of time left. Again, like it wasn't just they brought it down to seven and it didn't matter. They brought it down to seven with about 6.5 left. I mean, that was a ball game. They not only hung on to win, they won by 13. I did like that. I also like the fact that going on the road, and again, to your point, I know they're not a top five seed or anything, but they're still the Phoenix Suns. They still got KD, Devin Booker, Michael Beasley. They are still a very dangerous team. They went in there without Kawhi and without James Harden, and they took it to them in that first half. And again, listen, it's the NBA. I don't think anyone thought they were going to win by 40, but right. The fact that they held on to win by double digits was impressive. Now, again, the team's focus has shifted towards the postseason, and I want your focus as well to shift to the postseason. Well, what is the matchup? Again, we've talked about this for quite a while. You didn't like that Pelicans matchup. The Mavericks matchup, I don't know if you like it more, but you're talking about the hottest team in the league right now with two of the top 10 players in the world right now. That's a tough one too. I do like that these two teams have played each other. Hard to say, but I'd love to get your thoughts. Is there a matchup that you would prefer? It does seem like the Clippers and the Mavericks are kind of locked in at that 4-5 matchup for now. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's almost inevitable that it's going to be this, but you know, if I were to choose, I'd choose literally anybody else, and that's just with my knowledge. That's even with my knowledge of how the Clippers play against the Pelicans. I just think that if the Clippers played the Pelicans, it would be a much easier matchup for them. The Pelicans have been very inconsistent. The Mavericks are playing, like you said, some of the best basketball in the league, and they're probably the hottest team in the league. I see a lot of this discourse around social media right now, Arash, is there's a lot of people mistaking the last two series that the Mavs and the Clippers played as the Mavs won one of those series. Literally on national TV, I'm seeing people say, oh, well, the Mavs and Clippers have split their postseason series over the past 5 years. The Clippers have won both series that the Mavericks and that they've played against the Mavericks. And while Luka did go nuclear in both of those series, the Clippers still pulled out both of those, one in the bubble and then one in 2021 and route to their first conference finals. So I don't know where this narrative is that the Mavericks won one of those series. Maybe it's just because of Luka. But the Clippers have the advantage still because I've seen them do it against a Luka-led team in the playoffs. And I know that it's a different Mavericks team. I get that. It's a much better Mavericks team, in my opinion. Probably the best one that Luka has had. And that's even saying, putting it up against the 2022 team that got to the conference finals. But here's the other thing that I'm not seeing a lot of people mention as well, Arash. The Clippers are better too. They have a better roster now. They didn't have Norm Powell back in 2021. They didn't have James Harden back in 2021. They didn't have Russell Westbrook back in 2021. So they have, in my opinion, a better team this year. Both teams have a better team this year. So this narrative that, oh, well, look at what the Clippers are going to face this time. Well, yeah, look at what the Mavericks are going to face this time. You know, if everyone's healthy and, you know, it looks like Kawhi Leonard's going to be healthy going into the playoffs, you know, it's remained to be seen, but we'll see about that. It looks like he's going to be healthy. If both of these teams are healthy, the Clippers got better just as the Mavericks did too. So we're headed for just an all-time, I think, first-round matchup between those two. But if I was the Clippers, I would be praying to any basketball god to not have it be the Mavericks. But it's looking like that's the case.
Switching gears, the Lakers wish they were in the Clippers situation of being one win away from having the four seed. The Lakers can no longer be the six seed, so they are kind of locked in to, at the very least, a play-in tournament matchup. Even worse than that, Grant, it doesn't seem likely that they're going to get out of that 9-10 matchup following back-to-back losses. Lost last night to the Warriors. No Anthony Davis. LeBron James doesn't show up to Crypto.com Arena until just before the game with the flu-like symptoms. They really put themselves in a situation where, I mean, just to at least hopefully host the 9-10 matchup, they got to win the last two games of the year. And again, just because they don't have the tiebreaker against Sacramento, even if they finish with the same record as Sacramento, for the eighth seed, that would go to the Kings just by virtue of the tiebreaker. This is not an ideal situation for the Lakers. I mean, again, we've talked about this before, how the Western Conference is much improved. If the Lakers had this many wins a year ago, they'd be a top four seed. As it is, they are in that 9-10 matchup. Your thoughts on the Lakers going into what looks like an inevitable play-in tournament game with the Warriors?
Yeah, it's just two disappointing losses in a row after such a good stretch of basketball. And it just goes to show like how important health is down the stretch. Like one or two games of your best players missing and your season can go the opposite way. And I'm not saying that, you know, it's over for them because they still have a great team and a great opportunity to get out of the play-in. But, you know, you lose to the Warriors in the fashion that they did. I mean, you know, it was like you said, it was even a question that LeBron was going to play last night, and he ended up playing. He just didn't look like himself. He still had a great stat line just because it's LeBron. Every time he's on the floor, he gets a pretty good stat line. But the Warriors, I mean, they shot the lights out of the ball. And that's, look, I said this yesterday on the show, and I'm going to say it again. This is the exact reason why you want to get into the 7-8 game, is because the Warriors can go on a hot streak in one game. You know, they had guys like, you know, Andrew Wiggins making shots. They had guys like Gary Payton making shots from the outside. They can get hot in an elimination game scenario or in a play-in game scenario. So if you can avoid that, by all means, you know, that's probably the best option. So it's very disappointing for them to lose two in a row just because they were missing Anthony Davis for a majority of that one against Minnesota. They missed him the entirety of this one against the Warriors. And now it's almost inevitable that you're going to be in that 9-10, which is a single game elimination. And it'll probably be at home. You know, I'm not going to say that it will be at Chase Center yet. A lot of people are doom and gloom, but it'll probably still be at Crypto.com Arena. But I just feel like now there's so much more pressure on the team. Yeah. There's so much more, you know, there's such a higher level of concern that I have now because, you know, we just saw it. You're going to see it probably in another week or so that the Warriors are going to play the Lakers. And if they get hot like that again, yes, Anthony Davis does make a difference. But when the Warriors are shooting like that, there are very few teams in the league that can beat the Warriors. So, yeah. It's very disappointing, but it's not all doom and gloom because I still expect Anthony Davis to play in the play-in tournament. I expect LeBron to be at full health for the play-in tournament. When you have those two guys on the court, I like the Lakers' chances. Just, it's so unfortunate that they didn't have Anthony Davis for both of those games.
Yeah. I mean, you definitely want to be at 100% full health, this late in the year, but when you're not and you're kind of just fighting, you know, for playoff seeding, yeah, listen, that is a concern. I mean, not that, again, you don't want to be doom and gloom, but here's the difference. And again, I think just because some fans out there, you know, because it's still a new concept, you know, the difference from the play-in tournament a year ago or a couple of years ago when the Lakers were there, they hosted a win in advance situation, and one was with the Warriors and one last year with the Timberwolves, where they hosted it and they won and then they advanced. In the 9-10 matchup, if they win, they don't advance. They just advance to play, I believe, the loser of the 7-8 matchup. Yeah. So that they had to play one more game, and that would not be a home game for them. So, again, the loser of the 7-8 matchup obviously would be a higher seed, and I believe, Grant, correct me if I'm wrong, they would at least host that game. And then, yes. So again, that's the big difference. I know some Laker fans out there or some fans out there think that they're a little bit familiar with the rules. This is different than a year ago. This is different than 2021. The Lakers would not, again, hopefully they host the game as the nine seed, but if they win, they would advance to play another play-in game. And then that one they would have to win. And again, there's no margin for error here. If they lose, their season is over. Grant, what happens to Darvin Ham? Brandon, not surprisingly, I think you know how you feel. Yeah. He says, barring a championship run, he's gone. I mean, he doesn't even believe that if they go back to the Western Conference Finals, that would be enough to save his job. That run towards the Western Conference Finals a year ago was shocking. I think it'd be even more shocking this year. If they lose in the first round, let's just play this out, or if they lose in the second round, you know, do you think Darvin Ham will be back as the head coach of this team?
I don't think so. I think it's conference finals or he's gone. Yeah. If they get back to the conference finals, I chalk that up as a success of the season, honestly, with the way they're situated right now. But yeah, there was a clip, you know, going around social media yesterday. It was Darvin Ham in the huddle, and he was writing up a play, and LeBron wasn't even looking at it, and Austin Reeves wasn't looking at it, and then they left the huddle early while Darvin Ham was still drawing up the play on his board. That is not – I love to look at those kinds of things. I'm not going to say that it's, you know, an end-all, be-all, but I really like to look at some tendencies like that. I like to see how the chemistry of a team is and how – the players interact with coaches. That's just how I baseline, you know, the feelings of some teams. And it just seems like for months now, I've seen so many instances of the players just, you know, shrugging off Darvin Ham. You know, I'm not in the locker room, so I don't understand. You know, I'm not really into it that much, but just what I've seen on the court and what I've seen in the huddle, it's almost like they're dismissing what he has to say most of the time. And, you know, every time I look at the bench after a Warriors bucket or an opposing team's bucket, I see Phil Handy looking like he is going through it every time on the bench. And, it's such a bad vibe, when I see the players interact with Darvin Ham to the point where I think that a change is not a necessity, but it's almost something that you have to do, just to kind of, you got to get new energy in there. I mean, I know they went to the conference finals last year. This year has just been a different, weird type of energy the whole year because it was such a roller coaster. Yeah. You know, you start off hot and you win the in-season tournament, and then you go through a horrible month of January, and then you're back up at the top, and then you lose these last two games. So it's been such a roller coaster. And, you know, we mentioned this in shows before that they've been around the 9 and 10 seed for a while, even with how good they've been playing. But that month of January and just some of these lineups that I'm seeing that Darvin Ham puts out there, there's just a lot of questionable decisions that I see from him that a more veteran coach probably wouldn't have done. And you know, that's just what happens when you have, I mean, look, Darvin Ham's a second year head coach. It's not, you know, he's a very good mind. He's a very good leader, but I just feel like the Lakers, they might need a more veteran presence in that locker room, especially with the team that they have. They're trying to win a championship, right? This isn't a rebuild. This is a team that's trying to win titles, especially in LeBron's last years. So if it's not conference finals, then I do think that they look at the head coaching situation.
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point, you know, when you look at the respect, and the respect has to be there. And I thought that there was a time during the course of the season where the Lakers could have looked to make a head coaching change. And then when they didn't, by the way, you know, by the time you get to the last 20 games of the season, you are what you are. And you couldn't have brought in a head coach at that point to change anything. Look at what's happened to the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, I mean, sometimes you think a coaching change is going to help. And again, we can joke about Doc all we want, but I mean, the fact of the matter is they replaced a coach who is really doing well, had his team in a situation where they were the number two seed. And now, you know, Doc has got Milwaukee, like, if they're not 500, they've been below 500 during his time period, as the head coach. So, yeah, listen, The only thing I would tell the Lakers is that if you're going to make a coaching change, make sure that you have in mind who you want to be the next head coach. Not that I'm saying that there's not a better head coach out there than him, but make sure that you have that locked up. Don't make it a situation where you think change is good just for the sake of making change. But I agree with you there, Grant. So we'll see how this season plays out for the Lakers and the Clippers. That is all the time we have for today. Let's do it again tomorrow. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe and stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.